worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time featuring Crisco.
I tend to be unhinged and violent and, you know, yeah, sure.
Ian Hunter.
Oh my God, the dog pooped.
Mickey. And Lazy E.
Can I buy a vowel? N.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
We are on the road again with another episode of our podcast. Thrilled to be here and thrilled to have you listening. I am the host. My name is Crisco, and we call this a freak accident. Of course, I'm joined by the crew, the greatest crew on planet Earth, starting with Lazy E.
Hi.
Way to build that. Way to build into that hype. I love it.
Hi.
We've got Ian Hunter.
What's up?
You guys are just blowing me away right now. And she's back after her week on assignment. You are here sound and safe. I would have, you know, preferred if you weren't.
Yes.
Yes. I was going to say, I'm glad you're back safe and sound, although if you weren't here safe, I probably would have been okay with that, too, because at least we would have had some good stories. But Mickey!
Thanks.
Mickey's here.
Thank
Welcome back.
You.
We missed you last week.
I was on the road in a convertible banana.
Yeah, I thought for some reason I thought you called it Speed Banana, but yeah. that's going to be the name of my my internet web series when I started Speed Banana.
And she came with gifts.
Yes, she did. That you can see those on our Instagram page, which I will tell you how you can find that. First, head to our website. It's afreakaccident.com. Click connect on the menu bar. Don't know what that noise was. Just going to move past it. Click connect on the menu bar. All the links to our social media pages are there, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So you can follow us on Instagram. See the awesome picture of our unicorn horns and our Bootio cereal that Mickey brought back from WrestleMania for us.
Oh, so happy.
They were very excited.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right on. And by the way, you can also email us about absolutely anything. If you want to give us a compliment, insult us. If you'd like to suggest something for us to talk about on the show, you want to share a story of, you know, some experience you've had where as far as it relates to something you've heard on the show, freaks@afreakaccident.com. Just reach out to us. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a good review if you get the chance. I mean, this show, it's going to be a good episode. It's jam-packed with content, and we got the doc checking back in later on, and so it's good. It's good stuff.
Now, while Mickey doesn't have a story, I've been hearing rumors.
Wait, Mickey, you went all the way to WrestleMania and Florida, and you don't have any stories.
I drove a convertible banana. That was my story.
Exciting.
And I got sunburned.
Yeah, well, you did. From the convertible banana?
From the convertible banana.
Because their flight got canceled, her and Murderer, and they had to drive across five states to get to WrestleMania. Did you get there, like, literally right before it started?
We got there at 3 p.m. We checked into the hotel and immediately drove over because the guy at the front desk said, if you don't get over there now, you're going to be stuck in traffic. And amazingly enough, the stadium is set up well enough that there really isn't any traffic. They get you right into the parking spot. So it wasn't as bad as he made it out to be.
Kudos to Dallas.
Yeah, that's what I did when I was down there. You're welcome, Mickey. I fixed the road system. But I've heard rumors. Ian has a story. I'm not privy to this story, but I have a rumor that there is one.
All right.
The rumor is true, and I'm starting to notice that really dumb things happen to me all the frigging time.
You're just noticing this now?
Yeah. No, I'm not noticing. I'm just accepting it now.
It's not dumb things happen to him. It's dumb person in reality.
This one had nothing to do with me or anything I did to cause it.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed, and Mickey and Lazy E have noticed, and I'm pretty damn sure the listeners noticed, too, over the last couple weeks, that, you know, you have dumb things happen to you on a pretty fairly regular basis. So, go ahead, please.
This isn't as good as the door story, but I'm in the shower.
Doors story.
Or the lamppost.
Yeah.
Shut up!
Or the baseball story, whatever that is. I've heard about that, though.
Yeah, my dad. Yeah, we haven't talked about that on the air. I guess we'll get to that later.
That's okay, so what's this?
So, I'm in the shower the other day, and I get the shampoo out of my head, and I open my eyes, and I notice. No, stop.
There was a door in the shower.
Ian, I've come for you.
I look ahead of me, and there's, you know, the shower head is starting to leak right where it's sealed. I'm like, oh, that's not good. And so it's starting to come off. Right as I say, I'm like, oh, I got to fix that. It the hose part of the shower flies off while I'm in the shower. So water just starts going absolutely everywhere. I'm like, not at 6 in the morning. Am I going to deal with this?
I was waiting for you to say it smacked you right in the eye.
Well, so I shut the shower off. I try to screw it back in and get it on as tight as I can. Like, okay, fine, it's fixed. I put the water back on, hit the shower again, and
bing!
Boom! Yeah.
Water pressure will do that, Ian.
Apparently it was broken. So yeah. It's fixed. We got a new one on there. I put it on. It's fine. But that was the start of my Tuesday morning.
You're so stupid.
Like I said, that one wasn't my fault. It just happened to me.
Yeah, that is true. There really wasn't anything you could do, but still, you were there, and so we gotta blame it on you.
You know, that, of course, it doesn't happen to Hotford Teacher. It has to happen to me.
Yeah,
that's right. Why I'm saying, like, you're the control to everything. Like, think about it. None of this stuff happens to Mickey. Doesn't happen to Crisco. Doesn't happen to me. But it somehow happens to you. Didn't happen to someone in your household, but it happened to you. Eventually, you got to blame the source.
I have periodically, I have bad luck in life. My dad says our family's cursed or something.
Oh, I feel that.
He refers to, remember we used to call it the black cloud?
Yeah.
My dad is the one who came up with that originally. I got to give him credit on that because he said it follows our family around, this black cloud of doom. So I have bad luck in life every once in a while. But I do not have bad luck to the point where my life is like a Three Stooges movie, like Ian's life is, where it's just silly zaniness all the time.
All right, well, you bring up the Three Stooges story. I might as well tell you all about the baseball now.
Oh, you have to.
Well, yeah, now we need to.
Okay, so back when we were growing up, my dad, athlete, my brother, athlete, me, not really.
By the way, I'm going to point out, your dad was the one that told us about this.
Yeah,
so thank
I know.
Thank you, no, Ian's dad, for ruining his life in the sight of the entire internet. So please continue.
So we're out in the backyard playing catch, and when my dad and my brother start playing catch, I mean, they're probably 40 or 50 yards apart, and they're just wailing the ball back and forth. And I am afraid of that hard baseball. Have always been. And so every time, yeah, go ahead.
I'm just envisioning Monkey in the middle here.
It was a triangle, Mickey.
Oh, boy.
Okay, continue.
So every time we were playing baseball, I have to see the ball. You know, I have to look and
see
the ball.
Well, that's normally how players play.
Yeah, but most of the time, if you know it's coming to your face, you just put the glove up. And
this is so insulting to all the blind people who play baseball.
Wait, when you see the ball coming towards your face, you normally put the glove up to your face. Why are you letting the ball go towards your face?
Because we were playing catch, and the ball was coming towards me. And sometimes it comes to your face, and you have to put the glove up so it doesn't hit you in the face.
When you fight people, have you ever been in a fight? Do you lead with your chin?
No, my forehead. It's the thickest part of my body.
So how does this end? What happens here?
So the ball is being thrown, and it's coming towards me, and it's coming closer to my face. And so I put my glove up, and at the last second, I put my glove down just a little bit to see where the ball's at. And the ball hits off the top of the glove, smacks me right in the head. And my dad, I've never seen him laugh so hard in my life.
Keep on sucking!
He said I did the WWE, grabbed my head, spun around 3 times, hit the ground, my legs kicked up into the air, and fell back down. My dad is running at me, making sure I'm okay while he's laughing hysterically.
Actually, this explains a lot about now Ian, you know? Like, he's running into doors, he's hitting lampposts. This explains it all.
Yeah. Head injury. Yeah. Severe head injury. Yeah.
You are a factory of sadness!
So I get up, I'm
you
fine.
You and your wife, man. I am so sorry.
You know, I mean, you have the big knot on your head from getting hit with the ball. And, I mean, we didn't have enough ice, so my dad did the Sandlot thing. He grabbed a piece of raw meat and stuck it on my forehead.
You were literally a meathead for a while.
Yeah, I literally was.
Well, again, this explains a lot.
See, the beautiful thing about this situation is these stories are just going to keep coming.
I know
it's going to just get worse and worse as time goes on. You're young, too, so there's lots of time for extra things to happen.
It's the thing about baseball. You know, I was never good at it. Football, I was good at. Basketball, I'm good at. It's just baseball, I just suck at.
You were saying he was like the Three Stooges. What I'm picturing is one of those old black and white movies. It's like dent.
Like a Charlie Chaplin movie.
Yeah, below it's like, I'm gonna play baseball. The ball comes at him and it goes, uh-oh. Boom. Yeah. Oh!
And like Charlie Chaplin walks into his house in modern times and the board keeps coming down and smacking him in the head every time he walks through. Yeah.
I told you guys that this show needed a slapstick comedy guy, and I'm more than willing to fulfill that role.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. That's the first compliment you've ever given me.
That's why I always tell you to be careful with, you know, the microphone. I don't need you breaking my things because, you know, you accidentally, you know, fall beneath it or something.
I've never done something quite that dumb.
We have a money-making opportunity right here. We're going to make a full-length movie. And instead of Good Will Hunting, it's going to be Bad Door Ian. Or Bad Door Hunter. Boom. Done.
There you go. So
there you go, Warner Brothers.
This is really going to make that whole Krispy Kreme run that we're planning.
Oh,
it's going to be really
gonna be fantastic.
Yeah,
you'll never get out of the door.
Or I'll trip and go down a manhole. Old school Looney Tunes.
We can make all these things happen.
I want it to happen.
Hey guys, I'm in the lead. I'm going to win the race. No.
Wow, you just described my ninth grade year.
Oh, my God.
That was me in high school trying to talk to women.
Oh. They had, like, trap doors ready. They just pull levers and you just put...
No!
I mean, figuratively, yes.
No, it went like this. Will you go to the prom with me?
Pretty much how that went down.
Man, you know what? I do feel bad for you, but I love hearing about these things because it makes me feel better about myself.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
The wives listening to this podcast right now that are being improved by hearing about your plight.
All right, well, I got one more for you. So you brought up prom. Asked a girl to prom, and she had said yes.
Well, there's a surprise right there.
And, well, it gets better.
Mickey, yes! She shook her head yes.
I hate you so much. Well, she called me a couple. We were, you know, not dating. We were just friends going. She called me.
And then you answered, Mom?
No. She called me a couple weeks later, and she's like, I don't want to go to prom with you anymore.
I'm like, let me play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
But if she hadn't done that, I wouldn't have met my wife. So I think I won that one in the end.
Poor her. Good God.
I really want to know a Hut for Teacher's side to this story.
What, that?
She was paid off?
Yeah, yeah. Well, continually. How it turned out was, you know, a buddy of mine was dating my wife's best friend, and he goes, hey, I started dating this girl. Her friend needs a date for prom. You want to go? I'm like, yeah, sure.
And in return, she got a yard of land and a goat.
So there you go. She didn't. I was gonna say she didn't ask to go with him. She ended up with him and just thought, meh. He's a lovable idiot. I'll take it.
He's living my dream. What you do is you date a girl long enough where they feel too bad to break up with you.
You just kind of become, it's like a bad mole. Like, you know, it's there, it's inconvenient, and then over time it grows and changes color. And it's like, well, you know, I can't get rid of it now because it's become something very serious.
I'm her daily laugh. That's why we got married.
Well.
You laughed.
Well, yeah, because I don't have to live with you.
It's not with you, though. It's at you.
I'm well aware it's at me. I know the internet's laughing hard at me.
Having you on this show is the best thing that could have ever happened. On today's show, speaking of that, shows that we do here, we've got 10 bands you won't believe exist.
Oh, they're so interesting.
I feel like I've gone through this list with Murderer at some point.
I wonder if your band, one of your previous bands, is on this list. We'll find out. We've got a recap of the season 6 finale of The Walking Dead. Everybody's talking about it. I know none of you watch the show,
nope.
But
nope.
I'll give my thoughts. And I still, because I'm clever, I figured out a way to get your input anyway. So watch me spin that carousel. We've got tips on how to get out of a speeding ticket, and coming from actual police officers.
Ooh.
So, you know, I mean, as somebody who's been pulled over quite a few times in my life, I will certainly put these to practice. And plus, WrestleMania 32 was this past weekend, and we are going to recap the entire event with help from our pal, the Doc Chad Matthews, an expert in flesh from...
What?!
An expert in flesh.
In the flesh, I should have said.
An expert in skin.
Doc, so just skip that part. Pretend it didn't happen.
So does the doc have a website dedicated to the pornographic?
Oh, you're making it worse.
The doc's a legend, and he's a really smart guy, and he's an expert on all things pro wrestling, so we'll be talking about WrestleMania 32 with him.
Yeah, and I'll make sure to ask about the mole on my body right now.
There you go. Well, he is a doctor as well. Yeah. He's from lordsofpain.net, too, by the way. So all that coming your way in this episode of A Freak Accident.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
You gotta know when to hold them, when to fold them, when to walk away, and when to run. On second thought, forget all that. Just rob the table and take what's yours. This is A Freak Accident.
Every once in a while, you'll hear us talk about music here on the show. We have frequently referred to it as music you can use. I guess this would be music you can't use.
Or don't want to use.
Right. It would never, ever want to use under any circumstance for any reason whatsoever.
I'm sure, Mickey, as a musician, you've looked through the deep, dark-seated areas of the musician scenes and have found some pretty weird stuff, right?
Always.
Yeah. How much weird stuff is there just around here?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because you always look, when you're in a band, you have to find other musicians and bands to work with. So, I mean, you really got to dig sometimes. And sometimes we run across some things and we're just like, this is real. This exists. Well, this is very close to us. It needs to go away.
That's kind of what I mean. Because, like, you know, Lazy E and I, well, actually, Ian too, you know, we work in radio. We're radio professionals. On the radio station WBSX, I host a show called Locals Only where I play local bands. That's kind of like the cream of the crop, though. It's the people who have their act together enough to actually record EPs and albums, right, and things like that are studio quality. So I don't know what sort of things are lurking in the shadows, as it were, but I figured you would.
Yeah, you figure for every, 15 songs you play on a Sunday, there's about a million others that are really creepy and... Well, this kind of breaks it down for us a little bit.
Yeah, this is coming from Loudwire. They put a video together, 10 bands you won't believe actually exist.
And you can actually watch this, because I urge you to head to afreakaccent.com, watch the video while we're doing this, because, wow.
A lot of it has to do with visual, right? Yeah. There's a lot of visuals.
But we'll do our best to try to bring it alive.
All right, the first one is Winnie Pooh. And Winnie Pooh is an Estonian rock band. In the video, you can see they're dressed like werewolves hanging upside down while screaming maniacally. And there's also a spinning two-man drum kit in the back.
Yeah, it's really creepy because they're just... This is the sound you get. And they're just going...
I'm thinking this is if Tim Burton made a rock band.
Yeah,
there it is.
I get that impression. Yeah,
is exactly it, because I watched it and it, I mean, nightmares.
Honestly,
they're there.
Hearing that, Iggy Azalea is not so bad anymore.
No,
is she?
No.
With that whole
kind of like Flo Rida now.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Welcome to my house doesn't suddenly seem so bad, does it, Ian?
No.
Next up is The Residents, led by a guy who has a Skeletor-type mask.
Yeah.
And his backing band are naturally dressed as eyeball headpieces.
Yeah, you got to give these guys a listen because they're just as weird. But you got to imagine Skeletor singing this. It sounds like a Sesame Street skit.
It sounds just awful.
What? Cookie! And then there's eyeballs in the background playing instruments.
The Residents.
Well, the theatrics of it sounds cool. The music, not so much.
I'll tell you, Mickey, it isn't cool. It's awful. It's not good at all. There's a reason these are the weirdest bands and not the, wow, that's pretty cool bands. No.
Yeah. Why aren't these guys signed? Why don't we see them on tour?
I once saw Kesha in concert, and I thought that was the worst thing I've ever heard.
I feel so bad for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Then you heard The Residents.
Then I heard that.
Up next is Max Sabbath. No relation to Black Sabbath.
Oh, no, it kind of does.
Yeah, I can see he's trying to sample a little bit.
Well, this is what they are. They are guys that dress up like demonic McDonald's characters And they say they cover Black Sabbath songs, but make them into food references.
Okay. They make these guys are my favorite. Then
they change the lyrics into food lyrics. It's creepy. If you don't like clowns, don't watch that part of the video, please. Just we're doing this in order of the video, so please don't skip it. We're going off the rails in the grease fryer. Oh.
What do you think that version of War Pigs is like?
Still War Pigs.
Fried pigs.
Yeah.
Big Macs.
War McRibs.
Yeah.
There you go.
Next up, we've got, I'm almost afraid to say this one, so I'll spell it first so you don't think I accidentally cursed. S-H-A-T. So it's
the past tense of...
Right. It's Shat.
Oh, this is our local band.
Are they local?
Yeah.
No way!
What?
Oh, they're terrible.
Do they wear the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
A bunch of fat naked dudes with, prosthetics hooked up to their, bodies.
What
the
local
hell?
To us.
They actually
have a very big draw around here.
I'm not surprised.
I bet there's a lot of... if you had a Venn diagram, there'd be a lot of crossover with ICP fans in there.
Probably.
And people from West Virginia.
So you lose IQ is what you're saying.
They are actually from around our area, northeastern Pennsylvania.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Oh.
They're awful.
I need to move, and I need to move immediately. You guys want
to
come?
Before you move, we have to go see them.
No!
No,
yes.
They have a bunch of male prosthetics glued to their body. Why do you want to see that, Ian?
I'm always game for a good laugh. I like laughing at people.
Tism. Tism is the next band, and the song sounds like very happy-go-lucky.
Everybody, everybody.
Yeah, then you watch the video.
Everybody,
it's six guys dressed in hazmat suits with big smiley balloons behind them.
It's like that perfect psycho killer type of movie.
So it looks like our mascot.
I was going to say, it sounds like our theme band.
Yeah. Actually, maybe this is our band.
The Freak Accident logo is, the gas mask guy, who we still don't have a name for, by the way. Send us a name, freaks@freakaccident.com.
I'm not going to read these song names from the previous band, Shat. I'm just going to let Crisco read the couple.
I know.
You guys know why I can't read those, right?
Oh, my. Hold on. I got to see this.
Yeah, it's really bad, and they're very vulgar.
It's very it's very bothersome to me that they live here.
Wow.
I tried to find if they live here. I can't find anything other than those songs right now.
Well, Mickey says they live. You would know.
We ran across them on several shows when we were playing out.
I am so sorry.
Never mind. I don't want to see them anymore. That's not funny enough for me to go see.
Information.
Up next is the Georgia. I can't even.
You're saying it the best you can.
Yeah, I give up on that.
That's what they are.
It sounds like a recording from a haunted house.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Down a hallway.
Yeah. It's a vocalist screaming into a microphone while a vacuum fills in the rest of the space. The vacuum may or not be attached to another guy's region of...
manliness.
Yes. Thank you for filling in that blank space.
It's very disturbing. Don't skip that part of the video, too.
See, he's just screaming, and there's a vacuum cleaner.
10 weirdest bands. These are... Or you
the
can't
next
believe.
One I can't even say the name of. I can't even say the name. But it's VP of N something with a musty carrot.
I'm sorry, can you repeat
right,
what you said?
I'm not reading it aloud.
No, just the clues.
This is a family show.
Do the clues again.
Okay. V, P, with a something musty carrot. It's you getting
the idea.
I heard the
V and the P. I missed the middle part.
Yeah,
okay,
the name kind of explains why they're on this list. It's actually not a terrible sounding music, but
no, it is because they sound like a cricket that's demonic.
Oh, there they are. There's Shat.
Okay, I just found
they are
two.
Not from this area.
They're from Lincoln Park, New Jersey.
They're close though, and
but
they get a lot of shows.
Yeah, we get a lot of bands from the tri-state area playing shows around here. So still too close for my comfort.
It's kind of ironic that they're from New Jersey.
I'm lifting my house out of the ground and leaving.
How about this? The people of the area like the band enough. That's enough to make me want to move.
Captured by Robots is the next band. This one is a guy. It's one guy, actually, with a weird mask playing with a bunch of monster puppets that have instruments.
It's
so he's the puppet master.
It's really weird to watch.
I wish he would have spent half as much time learning how to play an instrument as he learned how to, you know, master puppets.
Well, I guess he's the master of puppets.
Is he covering Mississippi Queen?
I have no idea. I don't want to know.
I think it was.
Listen, I don't want to know anything more about these bands than I absolutely have
to.
This really makes me wonder what, I mean, you know, I look at Top 40 and I think, oh, look what's happened to music. If this had been going on all along, music's been doomed for a long time.
Yeah, there's a lot of butchering in the underbelly.
Evil Blizzard. You really have to see the video to appreciate what this is. The lead singer is in an old man rubber mask that you would like see on Halloween, kind of like a Halloween mask. Then all of a sudden, some guy in a pig mask grabs a kid from the crowd and brings him to the lead singer.
It's
why are there children at this concert to begin with? I question.
It looked like it was at like a family bazaar.
Bring me your children. The blood sacrifice will be made.
This one's mine. Well, you gotta get your start somewhere, right? Might as well start at the church bazaar.
By the way, the winner is $50 for Michael on Bingo, Instant Bingo, $50, Michael.
I want to know what church hired Evil Blizzard to play their bazaar.
West Baptist.
Yeah. Oh. Westboro Baptist? Yeah, yeah, probably. Last, we have Radioactive Chicken Heads.
These guys are my favorite.
They're a comedic band. Fronted by a punk rock carrot and backed by an army of chickens.
These guys are already my favorite.
It's the clown show from hell. This is like, I don't even know. This would be like, you know, a scene in a Stephen King movie, like a really old, really poorly shot Stephen King movie, like, you know.
That seems like a surfer movie from the 50s.
They sound like they would be a band in a Mystery Science Theater 3000 movie, like, you know, in a particular scene. Yeah, that's pretty awful.
They sound like they would have played at CBGB.
Maybe that's what they were going for.
So, Mickey, with these bands aside, because you probably would have elected our pals in Shat, what is the worst, weirdest band that you've come across in this area since you're deep into the music scene?
Oh, I don't even know. There were such long lists. I mean, 50 band names long list.
You just block a lot of that stuff out of your mind, I would
really
think, too.
Like, we got to the point where, like, we were making fun of the names, but then we're like, these bands actually exist. This music actually exists. We just need to not look at this anymore.
I think the worst part of it is that these people have fans.
Oh, yeah.
There are people who look at this and listen to this and think, yes, good.
Or they eat some halupki at their local bazaar and just enjoy.
You're so many key lights in at that point, anything sounds good.
Yeah. Try to give musicians the benefit of the doubt.
Nope, not these bands.
No. There is a cutoff point. There is a line that needs to be drawn.
Yeah, you guys all suck, and you should be burned with fire, holy fire, and then drowned in holy water and launched into holy space on a holy rocket, because this is terrible.
Holy cow. Yeah.
You could pay attention to the ramblings of a star-craving mad person. Or you can listen to us. It's basically the same thing, just less bone-crushing depressing. We are a freak accident.
I do love Artificial Fear for turning the theme song into this awesome metal cover. Always love them for that. Anyway, The Walking Dead has been a topic of discussion this past week because over the weekend, season 6 came to an end with the finale. It was an hour and a half long, 90-minute finale, so they tacked on a half hour to it just to increase the madness, I guess.
You know, I've never really watched a show. I've seen, like, a scene.
You really should see it.
I should, but I feel as though on Facebook, I could watch it without doing that.
Yeah, you know exactly what's happening without ever watching it.
And I've never seen an episode more polarized than this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
This episode was very divisive. People either loved it or they hated it. I don't think there's anybody who's been like, it was okay. No. I don't think I saw any of it. You haven't seen this show at all?
I have not, other than looking up pictures to use for makeup.
Yeah.
That's as close as I've got.
I think the props and the makeup alone, knowing your history, would be enough to draw you into the show to see that the special effects are incredible. The practical effects that they use, it's nuts.
Right. I've watched all like the back video, like what they do in the off scenes,
right,
but never the show.
The show's good. It's a good show. It's an excellent, entertaining character show. I mean, some people have called it like sort of misery porn, is, you know, because it's basically just people.
What?
Well, no, they call it that. No,
my bedroom.
They call it that. Thank you. They call it that because it's basically just people in miserable situations over and over and over again. Like, this group of people, they're in the apocalypse, they're constantly being, you know, threatened by zombies, they're being threatened by other people, and it's just there is no happy ending. Like, there is no way out. It's just literally who can not die the longest. And it's kind of like, it is miserable, you know, but it's an interesting character study. I enjoy it.
So season 6 finale, everything was about Negan. Norman.
It was all about, right, Negan. Yep. Starring Jeffrey Dean Morgan was cast in the role. Perfect casting. Unreal. I mean, he just captures it. But Negan was huge in the comics. Yeah. Big deal. Big turning point. So everybody was looking forward to this finale. Now, I will tell you, there is spoilers here. You've no doubt heard these spoilers already. Not to mention, it's happened in the comic book for, it's been years now that this has happened. But his introduction, he shows up and he has a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire that he calls Lucille.
Nice.
And the first thing he does is he beats one of the people to death with it.
Oh.
In Rick's group as punishment for him, like, you know, trying to defy. Because the whole thing is, Negan's the leader of a group called the Saviors. Their thing is, they find other people who are survivors and they say, listen, whatever you have, food, supplies, whatever you find, we get half of it. In exchange, we'll keep you safe from zombies, but you give us half your stuff constantly. It's like you pay tribute. And if you say no, they kill you. So that's basically, you know, that there is no way. You either give up half of your stuff or you die.
Now all of a sudden, Dean Ambrose makes sense.
There you go. So anyway, it was a big moment, you know, and on the show, I'll just say there's this one line that just got me, because he goes, and again, spoilers if you haven't seen the season, although at this point,
whatever.
Yeah. But he leans into Rick, who's the leader, you know, the main character, whatever. He says, you've killed a lot of my people. And when I sent my people to kill you for killing my people, you killed more of my people. He says, you've killed more of my men than I'm comfortable with. And he leans in real close and he goes, not cool. It's like, that was just like, it, because you think he's gonna like snap, you know, and start screaming, but he's just like so even keel and level headed. He's like very threatening. But anyway, the end, what happens is, he in the comics, he beats someone to death. Everybody's been expecting that to happen on the show. We're gonna meet him, he's gonna beat, well, who's it gonna be, who's he gonna kill? And this is the big thing, is what happens at the end of the show, he does like eeny meeny miny mo with the bat. And he picks someone, but what happens is the camera goes into a first-person view. And he goes, all right, you hold still, nobody scream. And he starts beating whoever it is, but you don't see who it is. You just see, like, he hits it, and then you see, like, blood run down the screen. And then he keeps hitting it, but you don't see who it was. So now, 9 months until the season 7 premiere, and we gotta wait to find out the resolution.
At the moment it went into first-person view, did you know it was gonna be a cliffhanger?
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing myself watching. As soon as it went there, I'd be like, damn it.
Some people, yeah. Now this is where I wanted to spin it into you guys asking you this, because a lot of people are saying, oh, the fact that they wouldn't reveal it proves that this show has disdain for its audience. But my thing is, has anyone ever watched TV, especially classic TV? It was constant cliffhangers.
Right.
Even like the old, like the old Nickelodeons, you know, like where you'd go, you'd pay a couple cents or whatever, and it was like multi-installments. It was like a mini-series. Every episode ended with a cliffhanger because They want you to come back for the next one. And it's like, I remember back, you know, the X-Files early seasons, like Smallville early seasons. That it was
Simpsons.
Always, yeah, it was always a cliffhanger.
We live in a generation of, like, they all want it now.
Instant gratification.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing. I've noticed that a lot more recent TV, like even Daredevil, season 1, right? There was no cliffhanger
but
ending.
But in season 2, there's a cliffhanger at the end of every friggin' episode.
But this is what I'm saying, though. But with a season finale, traditionally, there was always one huge cliffhanger. Like, oh God, what's going to happen? I got to come back next season to find out. First season of Lost, right? They open the hatch. They look down. The camera pans down and it ends. You don't see what's down there. You got to come back to find out. They've been doing that for years. This is nothing new, but I think in the age of instant gratification that we're to the point where I'm seeing television shows a lot of times now at the end of a season, they wrap up all their storylines. And they might tease, like, what the future holds, but there's no cliffhanger. There's no question about what's going to happen next. It's like, okay, well, this adventure's over. Come back next season when we start a new adventure. It's like, okay, but that's not, you know, the cliffhanger's classic TV is what I'm getting at.
In radio, we call it carrying through the break.
Right, yeah.
The only, and I don't know, because I haven't watched it. The one person I saw complaining said that the reason why they were PO'd about it was not because of the cliffhanger, but because the entire season built to who's going to die, and you didn't get that this season.
Yeah, I would argue differently. I would say the entire season built to Negan specifically, and you got that.
Yeah.
The death is just a consequence of his showing up. Okay. So it's kind of like, in my mind, that's sort of the catalyst. The death is going to be the catalyst for what it's going to be like to have to deal with Negan. And so that, I think, makes sense to have the season 7 start with, okay, who did he kill? You know, to kind of put in perspective, well, now we got to deal with this, and we got to deal with him. So I don't care that it was a cliffhanger. Television, movies have been doing that for years. This is nothing new. Stop demanding that you're entitled to know everything the moment you want to know it. And just deal with the fact that, hey, they gave you a solid reason to come back next year.
I think when they don't do a cliffhanger, it makes it really hard to build on the storyline.
That's what I'm saying. It's really, unless the show is spectacular, there's no reason to come back for next year. There really isn't.
So the million-dollar question, who do you think they killed?
I mean, I still think it was Glenn. I would say it was either Glenn or Abraham on the show.
Glenn is the guy that escaped the killing the last time. He was, like, underneath bodies or whatever. Yeah. I read about it. Again, yep. Never saw it.
Because everybody talks about it. Yeah. I think it's a swerve. Like, they teased him dying, and then, oh, he was okay just to kill him off again. Like, to give you a false sense of security. Like, nope.
Never watching it. Putting it in that perspective of the first person, that kind of gives them a whole new strategy of even rewriting everything that they want to rewrite, because you don't know what happened. So they can go in a completely different storyline and hopefully, you know, line it up for a couple more seasons rather than just one.
Right.
Because I know that's also a huge problem with TV right now, is that the seasons just are not lasting because people want everything right now and then it's over and now you got to find something new to watch.
Yeah, I remember seasons used to be like 22, 23 episodes. Now, like, you're lucky to get a season that's 15 episodes of a show.
Well, it's not even that. A season now is split up.
Yeah.
Right.
You do get 22 episodes, but it's in the fall and the spring.
Yeah, the whole fall finale, that never used to be a thing. No. Now it is. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the episode. I liked it. Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan is awesome. And, I mean, it was interesting to see as the episode went on the slow breakdown of Rick Grimes. Like, because he starts the episode really cocky. And then he ends the episode on his knees in a line, in a row with all of his people. And one of them gets killed. It's like, so he's, like, really cocky and confident. And then they slowly break him down throughout the episode. At the end of the episode, he's, like, completely helpless. Yeah. It's like, that's, and like I said, it's interesting. It's interesting writing. It's an interesting character study. So I liked it. I thought it was great. I mean, you all need to grow up. Again, stop feeling so entitled, like you deserve to know everything. You don't. Shut up and come back next season to find out what happens, unless something terrible happens to you before then and you die, in which case I'm so sorry.
And we'd love to hear your thoughts and who you thought died. Email us freaks@freakaccident.com.
That's right. Up next, how to get out of a speeding ticket according to actual police officers. So you know you can trust them, right? Unless you don't trust the cops.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Be a part of the show. Go to freakaccident.com and click on connect. That's freakaccident.com. Click on connect.
Oh, little Sammy Hagar. Yeah. Come on now.
Ugh.
55, that's not even that fast.
At the time, that was the speed limit on the highways in the interstate.
Was it?
That's why he wrote it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a little fact.
That was
you.
The speed limit. It's implied he never went faster than that. Man, that just means you're playing by the rules. What a loser. What a square.
He's saying he can't because he wants to go fast.
Oh, okay.
Sammy Hagar doesn't go anything but rock.
I love Sammy Hagar. Shut up.
Except Van
I'm,
Hagar.
I'm just poking holes in the logic of his music is what
Stop
I'm doing.
Stop it. It's rock. Stop trying to think about it.
What?
It's rock. Just enjoy it.
He's just trying.
Don't be that guy. Don't do it.
He's just trying to raise the Sammy Hag bar.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah! Yeah! We haven't had one of those in a while. That was good.
Yeah, that was pretty decent. I like how he dances to the music. Like, he's like shaking his hips. He's doing like the. You were doing like the
wild and crazy guy.
Yeah, it's like what? All right. Anyway, a cop pulls you over. Terrible experience, right? Everybody here been pulled over at one point or another.
Of course.
Yeah.
Three times.
Were you pulled over and over in the?
I have a lead foot.
The speed banana? Did you get pulled over
no.
with that at all?
The convertible banana. And no, I will tell you, being in a convertible banana that is a Mustang, I don't think any cop wants to pull you over because they feel so bad you were driving it.
Yeah.
You'll hear more about the banana in the. In the wrestling segment, I think.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Yeah, her trip to WrestleMania. But anyway, we cops pull you over. It sucks. It's happened to all of us, I think. But what's an easy way to get out of a speeding ticket? And don't, Mickey's a girl, you know, don't say like, you know, oh, you could just flirt with them.
It does not work.
You've tried that.
Though, oh, yeah.
And it doesn't work.
No.
Well, there you go. There's your answer.
Ditch the car and run. Just run.
Speaking from the guy who's actually been in jail here.
Yeah.
Yeah, just run.
Yeah, that can't end badly at all. Anyway, the Thrillist put together, Thrillist.com put together a list of ways, apparently from actual police officers, what to do to get out of a speeding ticket. All right, so we could put this to practice since apparently you've got a lead foot. I get pulled over all the time because I don't play by the rules ever. Live on the edge. Ian, happen. E.
I just run.
Yeah. Let me know how that works out for you the next time you try it.
Still doing it.
You
right
will.
Now.
You'll be getting called for bail.
Well, anyway, here's some ways to get out of it. If you pass a traffic cop, it says, smile and wave as you drive by. Officers that are parked are looking for speeders generally have a threshold. It varies in every situation, but they give you some leeway where it's okay to speed a few miles per hour. If you're going 5 to 10 over and suddenly see an officer, just smile and wave, acknowledging that you're paying attention and slowing down.
Great. That's a smart idea. Smile and wave as you're speeding and looking at the cop so you hit the car in front of you.
Loser.
Yeah. Eat my dust, copper. And then it's like, bam. Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah.
God, that's why the cops want us to do that. So we F up. That's why.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This says don't have a radar detector. That means if you're speeding and your radar detector goes off, you're already busted because it means that the radar's already hit you.
Right, and I'm pretty sure they're illegal to have in your vehicle.
Are they?
They are now. The Fuzzbusters are illegal.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Now we're getting into the tips that actually...
Might make sense.
Sure. You hope, anyway. Put your turn signal on the second you see their flashing lights, even if there's not room to pull over. Put the signal on because, you know, at least if you're on the highway or whatever, you're near a guardrail, you demonstrating that, hey, I want to pull over. There's just nowhere to stop.
I have to say, I pulled myself over once because I knew I was going way too fast. And by doing so, he wrote me up for like 10 miles over the speed limit instead of the 30 that I was going. Yeah. So that was very helpful.
There you go. You've got to stop immediately, though, if the siren comes on. Because apparently when they actually add the siren to the lights, it means they're telling you, hey, this is a safe spot to pull over, so get over right away. Because usually, yeah, you don't normally hit the sirens.
No.
They hit the lights first.
They usually hit the sirens whenever Lazy E's running.
Yeah, that's when I run.
Get your license, registration, and insurance out before they get to the window.
That hasn't worked for me.
No. No, you don't do that.
No, yeah, because they think you're reaching for a gun. They always say to put your hands on the steering wheel and wait until they ask.
I've heard both, actually.
When I was in Dallas, the first thing I learned, and I got pulled over shortly before that.
Well, that's Dallas.
Because they told you the best way to get out of it in there, you take your keys out, put them on the dash, put your hands on there, and you do not move until
they get there. Actually, what I do is I usually... As the lights come on, I reach over, I grab my insurance out. I usually have my wallet on me, so I get everything ready. And what happens is when I pull over, I turn the car off. Yeah. I put the keys on the... I just knock something over. I put the keys on the roof of my car.
Or that, yeah.
And what I usually do, because I carry a gun, okay? I get out my concealed carry permit, and I put both my hands out the window.
Yeah.
Okay, with my information in both hands, and I always hand him the concealed carry permit first. And usually, actually, traditionally, that has actually gotten me out of a ticket or two, because the guy asks, oh, what is this? And I tell him it's my concealed carry permit. Where's the gun? Right hip. And then he asks, oh, what kind of gun do you have? You know, and then you can talk shop with him, and then it's like everything's cool after that. You know, you're just buds.
Or you run.
Yeah.
Or
that's
try.
A good idea.
Listen, listener, try running. Tell us how it goes. Freaks at a freakaccident.com.
We will not bail you out of jail.
Yeah, no. We don't have that kind of money.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Okay. Kiss their butt before they go back to their car.
Yeah, officer, you're looking good in those jeans today.
Well, apparently it's because when they go back to the car to write the ticket, to run your information, at that point, they're already writing you a ticket. Like, they decide whether or not to give you a ticket, apparently, the moment they get to the window. Yeah, when they're at the window. The moment they walk away, guess what? Your fate's already sealed, and cops also don't tear up. Like, once they've written the ticket,
yeah, they can't.
They can't tear it up. It's illegal, apparently. The whole thing with tearing up tickets is only in the movies.
Hey, officer, you been working out? You're looking good.
Look at that great mole you have on your face.
One thing I found, actually, is if you can identify their rank, if they're like a lieutenant or something, calling them lieutenant often will be beneficial to you, because it means that you respect
them.
You pay attention, you're showing that you respect them and everything else. You know, don't just say officer. If it's a state trooper, you call him state trooper or sir. You don't call him officer. They don't like being called officer if they're a statey.
So just to be clear, you don't call him a pig.
That's probably not a good idea.
Okay.
You should definitely run after you do
you
that.
Also don't, you also don't hold your nose up and go when he comes up to the window either.
Duly noted.
He's resisting arrest.
Or ask if they smell bacon.
Yeah, okay. I you see, these are things I didn't know.
How many times have you been pulled over, Crisco?
Not really more than like
a handful.
That's
not a number. That's not a number. I want a number.
But I think around five or six times.
Wow, I've had three, and I thought that was a lot.
Yeah.
I just run.
I get like... a lot.
Do you really?
God, yeah.
Like, how often? Every couple weeks, months?
Well, let's put it this way. When I was traveling a lot, I had one pretty much every 6 months. It was guaranteed. I looked for it on a calendar. Okay. Within the last 5 years, I've only gotten three. Oh. No, four. I'm sorry. Because one was not speeding. Oh. One was talking on the phone in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Try to make the officer laugh. Apparently, lightening the mood a little bit helps. But the implication to that, though, is that a bad joke would have the opposite effect. That's just going to tick him off, and you're just going to be worse off for it.
Hold on, I got more jokes. Hold on.
So listen, if you're not funny, don't try and be funny.
So I could combine my other theory, my other way, with this way. I could just go, tag, you're it, and run.
That might actually work.
If you run like you usually like mime the way
like,
you run.
Yeah. I got dizzy.
Don't be short. In other words, don't do one word answers, because then they get suspicious.
I thought
you meant height.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I'm
screwed. They don't like short people. Don't be short with him. So don't give just one word answers, because that makes him suspicious. But also, don't talk too much either, because he's going to think something's up if you keep rambling.
I'm fine, officer. You see, I was just going to my mom.
I don't have any drugs out of me at all. Don't search my glove compartment, please. Be humble and apologize. So,
that's admitting guilt.
No, that one got me out of the last ticket that I got because I almost got another one a couple of weeks ago.
Are you kidding me?
God.
That actually.
Now that I remember.
I feel really guilty that I force her to drive to my house to record this podcast every week now, because I'm putting all of your lives in danger.
I actually got out of a ticket not too long ago using that same way. I pulled over and I'm like, I am so sorry. I was like, I know what I did. I go, idiot move on my part. They took my stuff. They went in the back and they go, don't do it again.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. The one time I got out of a ticket, this is just a short caveat before we get to these last two. I was on my way back from a remote, actually.
Yeah, for the radio station.
Right. And I was in a hurry to get home because one of my favorite TV shows was coming on and I didn't want to miss it. So I was trying to get home as fast as I could. Light's green, turns yellow. I try to beat it. Turns red before I hit the intersection. I blew right through it, right? So I figured, but it was one of those things where, like, it's literally right when you're getting to the intersection, it turns red. It's like, it's still illegal, but it's like, I'm moving at this point. I'm not slamming on my brakes and skidding into the intersection anyway. That looks stupid. So I just blew through it. cop right there on the right-hand side behind. The moment I came around, I think, I'm like, well, he's going to pull me over. I saw him pull through. The lights go on, so I pulled right over and everything else. He walks up to the window. You know, we do the whole thing. And he sees that I'm sitting there. He's like, where are you headed from? He goes, where are you going? I said, oh, I'm just going home. I just got off work. And he looks down, and I had my station tag on.
Oh,
right? And
he goes,
he goes, you're Crisco. I said, yeah. He goes, from 97.9X. I said, yeah. He goes, have a good night. I love your show. And he turns and walks away. I was like, yeah!
I can't deny I did that the one time.
Yeah, you did.
I gave the guy a CD.
Nice! There you go. Perfect.
First time I was ever pulled over, I was also on my way back from a remote. It was a baseball game I had to cover over an hour away. I was almost home. I just wanted to go home and go to bed. And it went from 45 miles an hour to 25. I
hate those speed traps.
And he pulled me over, and he did not like the fact I worked for the other town's radio station.
Oh no! So, yeah, the opposite effect for you. Anyway, avoid speeding around the holidays because there's always more cops out.
That's obvious.
Last bonus, know a cop. That does help, actually, if you know it. But it says
a good cop.
If it naturally comes up in conversation, at it. Don't try and force it. Well, let me tell you about all the people that I know who are police officers, you know? So if it comes naturally in the conversation, go for it. And oftentimes it will help.
Or know the mayor of a town. That happened to me. He goes, oh, your last name is this. And I'm like, yeah, my last name's E. It's a family name.
The E lineage.
Yeah. So he looks at that.
What
and
a
goes,
tremendous one limb family tree that is.
Yeah. And he goes, well, we're also paired up with the D's. So.
Here comes the D.
That's gross. So he goes, oh, so are you related to this guy? And I'm going, yeah, that's my uncle's father. And he goes, he's like, oh, good guy. You have a good day. And I'm like, I'm going to use this card a lot more.
There you go. Yeah. Or run.
Reasons to listen to a freak accident.
We always go above and beyond in serving our community.
The fact that it's court ordered is irrelevant.
Welcome to my house.
It's almost over. No more a Flow Rider.
Ian's like rubbing his head.
I can't stand this freaking song.
It's so too much.
Yeah.
Welcome to my house.
Yeah. So, but it's almost over. And nobody's happier about that than Mickey.
Yay!
Now, you have no reason to be upset, though, because you were actually at WrestleMania, and you had to at least have a good time.
I was terrified.
Of what?
The really, 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 really high seats.
Of Wyatt coming out hitting her with a chair?
Yeah. Bray Wyatt was supposed to come out and attack Mickey. That didn't happen.
That probably would have been safer.
At least you were out of range of The Rock's flamethrower, though. You know, there was that, being that high up.
So stupid.
But oxygen chokes out fire at that height.
When he hit somebody with the flamethrower, we would have known what The Rock was cooking.
Finally would have figured that out. That would have been great. Anyway, WrestleMania 32, WrestleMania Star in Dallas, Texas, is now over. So we are able to recap the event in its entirety. And what better way to do that than with our pal?
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case
of suffering succotash, son.
He's the closest thing to a living legend you can get to from WrestlingHeadlines.com and LordsOfPain.net. The Doc, Chad Matthews, in the house. Doc, thank you for calling in for the third straight week. I'm sure you're thrilled, and you're here to talk WrestleMania 32. So what did you think of the event?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I was there live as well. And, you know, for my taste, it was kind of a one of the ultimate variety shows I've seen in recent wrestling memory. And in terms of the shows I've been to, I'd rank it right up there with the most fun ones I've ever been a part of. So I had a blast, and I've watched it back, and I like it a heck of a lot more than a lot of people did.
Okay. So. That's interesting, because it seems like a lot of people are going the opposite direction on it. Have you noticed that too?
I have. What else is new?
People always find a reason to complain. There were a lot of bright spots this year, though.
I really thought that it started out so hot, and it just seemed like at the end it petered out. Maybe it's just me.
At the end, they were practically booed out of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
That did happen.
Yeah, I mean, I need to watch the main event again, to be frank. It's the only one I haven't watched on replay as of right now is the Roman Reigns Triple H match, but for all intents and purposes, being there live, I felt like the building held up. in terms of the crowd energy. I think even though it was 5 hours and no one told us that in advance, you know, which, you know, you're getting to the end of the fourth hour and you're looking at your watch and The Rock's coming out. It's like, well,
yep,
Roman Reigns and Triple H are not going to only wrestle for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
something's a little fishy here that no one bothered to tell us. And my, at that point, my biological clock, which had been set to, okay, let's just get through 10 o'clock Central Time, and then we can try to get out of here, because it's going to take us about 2 hours to both get out of the building and get back to the hotel. So, you know, I'm probably looking at about midnight, going to sleep, and then getting up and getting in the airport and going home. And then all of a sudden, it did dawn on me. Like, oh, my God, man, I'm not going to get to sleep till like 1:30.
Well, we had trouble just watching it, you know, from a couch somewhere. It was like, oh, God, it's still going. So, yeah, I can only imagine your pain and Mickey's pain, you know, because as we said, she was there with Murderer as well. And I mean, you know, Mickey, of course, didn't enjoy the show, but she doesn't ever enjoy anything. But, you know, Murderer had fun, though, didn't he?
He had fun. He was a little underwhelmed by the whole event. He gave it a 6 out of 10.
Oh, there you go. That's Ooh. That's not terrible,
though. It's not terrible, but yeah, he had some points, you know, with the Undertaker-Shane match where it only lasted like 10 minutes as far as he was concerned.
Yeah.
It was a short-lived show.
Well, let's break down this this lineup of matches here a little bit, and maybe the Doc can sway Murderer and sway some other listeners as well to his side of the ball game. So, I mean, are we going to talk about the pre-show match?
No,
it's not really
no.
worth it, right? I mean, Kalisto held on to the United States title, and you had the Total Divas beat whatever Team Bad and Blonde, that's what they're calling
yeah.
themselves now. So that happened. I guess Brie Bella is now retired.
Oh, well, that is the best contribution Daniel Bryan has given to wrestling. He knocked out Brie Bella. Thank God.
So you got that. Now going into the actual event itself, you had the Usos versus the Dudley Boys. Now, Doc, what were your thoughts on this match? Because this was kind of just a throwaway match, but it was there, it was on the card, and it actually did have a decent build. It was one of the better built matches. So what did you think of the actual result?
Well, pre-show matches to me are not really to be considered part of the main card. I mean, if I buy a DVD copy of WrestleMania 32, then the Dudley Boys versus the Usos is not going to be on when I press play.
Okay.
Go right to the opening. And to me, that downgrades my interest in pre-show matches. I've never really been all that invested in them. I feel as though if a match ends up on the pre-show, that's basically WWE's way of telling me it's not that important. So I didn't look at it as if it was that important. And I didn't, I mean, I was there and I was in my seat and I was looking around, looking to see what areas of the crowd still needed to fill up. I barely paid attention to it. What I did see was fine, but it came across like a Raw match. It did have a good build. I was a little disappointed for the Usos that didn't make the main card. But for all intents and purposes, it may as well not have existed, with all due respect to the four performers themselves. I barely looked at it.
But things turned around real quick when we opened up with the Intercontinental Championship ladder match featuring Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, Sami Zayn, Stardust, Sin Cara, Zack Ryder, and Kevin Owens. Lot of good reviews coming out about this match, and one heck of a swerve of an ending. I don't think anybody saw it coming.
The one thing I always see the complaints about this match is, oh, it was just spotty. I don't know about you, Doc, but I thought that's what a ladder match was about.
Well, there's two different styles of ladder matches. There is the more story-driven one, like you saw with the original with Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels, where they had a good, solid backstory behind it, and they, you know, what they did. I mean, they had a match that just so happened to involve a ladder. And then there is the style that we saw that opened WrestleMania 32, which is what I personally refer to as the stunt brawl genre of ladder match, which is essentially, it's all about the creativity of the spots that they pull off. That, by its very nature, is how these guys make an impression. We saw that with the tag team TLC era. That wasn't about the story. It was about what they were capable of pulling off in that sort of environment. How creative can they be? How crisp can these spots be performed? And that, for that style of ladder match, I will personally give it a rave review myself. I thought it was a great way to open the show. I thought it far eclipsed the ladder match that opened WrestleMania 31 a year ago. I was, it didn't bother me. I think that you get into the winner of that match and you start seeing my issue with a lot of the negativity surrounding WrestleMania 32 as a whole, and it's the nitpicking of every little thing. It's, you know, Mickey, if you didn't have a good time at WrestleMania 32, then you would fit right in with the internet wrestling community, let me tell you, because,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I told somebody on my way out, I looked at him and said, hey, did you have fun? And he said, man, I guess. I said, man, if you didn't have a good time at this show, you must have tried hard not to, because if you're a wrestling fan and you went to that, then, quite frankly, I mean, I don't see how you could have gone to that and not had a good time. Yeah, it was long. It was exhausting. This ladder match, obviously, though, getting back on topic, got the show kicked off on the right note, and everybody shined. And Zack Ryder winning, from my perspective, was just throwing a bone to a 10-year veteran who has worked his butt off to try to stay on the roster. Zack Ryder has missed many a yearly house cleaning cut sequence, if you will, in terms of WWE going around and letting a lot of guys go. He's always managed to avoid that. And, you know, I thought that was a good moment. I had no problem whatsoever with Zack Ryder in an environment fit for an underdog to win. Actually, finally having an underdog like Zack Ryder win, I thought it was a great match.
Yeah, I mean, and that's he's obviously, I call him the reigning defending employment champion of WWE. But I kind of was disappointed that they didn't let Zack Ryder ride, pun intended.
Oh,
they didn't let it
God.
Ride a little bit longer. I mean, he dumped the title the very next night on Raw. I mean, that kind of felt like a letdown, especially because it seemed like the fans really got on board with the idea of Zack Ryder on Intercontinental as the Intercontinental champion. And they kind of bait and switched it. You know, I don't know. That just felt a little bit abrupt and kind of like a sort of a finger to the audience a little bit. That's just me, though.
Well, I think Raw after WrestleMania is like hitting the reset button.
Yeah.
That's always the way I viewed it. So, you know, again, I mean, that's one of those things. I don't have a big problem with that. It is what it is. It was fun seeing Ryder win one night. He got his moment, and as he said himself, I could retire tomorrow and I'd be a happy guy.
There you go.
The reset button is also the name for WrestleMania 33. It's going to be a reset button, okay. Just so you know.
So then we had AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho. A lot of people confused about how this match turned out. A lot of people upset about the fact that AJ Styles lost to Chris Jericho, especially considering in the past when he's put over people like Fandango at WrestleMania. Although, I mean, it's obvious that WWE hasn't soured on Styles, considering he's now the number one contender in the Raw after WrestleMania. But as far as the match goes, I mean, you have two guys who definitely know what they're doing. I mean, Doc, what did you think about this matchup?
I thought it was really good. I thought that, much like some of the matches they've had back in February, that there were a few sequences that just looked a little off. And it watched that way when I looked back on the replay on TV. There were a couple of awkward moments, and you wouldn't necessarily expect that from two world-class workers. Is that a sign that Chris Jericho is slowing down a bit? I mean, he is now he's on the back end of his 40s now, so I mean, I guess that's more than possible. It's probably probable at this point that he's just not athletically where he used to be. But outside of that, I mean, the guts of the match, there were some great moments. There was some really good work between those two guys. If I come across as a little ornery today as compared to the way I normally am when I'm on here, enthusiastic as can be, pumping things up, it's simply because, again, the criticism, who cares if Chris Jericho won? I mean, Chris Jericho has lost to this guy by pinfall and by submission in previous matches. It's not like Chris Jericho had won all three of those previous matches and then won the fourth match too. This ties the series up at two apiece, and I think Chris Jericho, for the very reasons you mentioned, he's put over Fandango of all people. He needed to win at WrestleMania so that the next time someone actually does beat him, it means something again, because it was dangerously getting to a point where beating Chris Jericho didn't mean a thing anymore. So I think it's a good thing that Chris Jericho won the match, and I certainly don't have a problem with it. The match itself, other than those couple of awkward moments, I thought it was really good and one of those matches that will age well as time goes on. When you go back and watch WrestleMania 32, the first couple of hours of the show will watch really, really strongly, in part because of matches of the quality of Jericho and Styles.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you brought up the fact that it's good that Jericho gets a win, because it's funny. People complain, oh, Jericho just comes back and loses. But then he gets a win, and everybody's upset that he wins.
Yeah,
why is he burying the younger talent? So, man, I hear you loud and clear. I honestly do. Now, next is the match that I really wanted to pick your brain on, because we had talked about this match in our last episode. The fact that New Day versus the League of Nations, you had said that, you know, heaven forbid New Day comes out and loses at WrestleMania against the League of Nations. Turns out that's exactly what happened. So what are your thoughts on that with regard to the event, what it means for New Day moving forward and that sort of thing?
Well, the biggest thing I said last week was, you know, that was obviously a comment that I did make, but I also mentioned, and this was my heaviest point of emphasis, was I want to see how New Day gets presented.
Okay, yeah.
And their presentation was fantastic. I mean, their entrance with the big box of Bootios, I mean, that was hilarious, and it made them look like stars. I mean, I'd actually like to throw a question at Mickey real quick.
Yes.
Mickey, if you don't know much about pro wrestling and you don't follow it much, when you walked away from watching the New Day, did it not come across like those guys were kind of a big deal, even though they lost?
I thought they were entertainment value for the whole event, but coming across as like a big deal, I'm not so sure about that. I was kind of wishy-washy on that.
Fair enough. Well, you know, you look at the way they were presented, having that special entrance, getting to rub elbows with Austin and Michaels and Foley. I don't think that for fans that aren't that familiar with New Day, that they're going to walk away thinking, oh, well, New Day lost, so they must not be very good. I think we're past that point in wrestling history where that would be the thing that stuck out in people's minds. I think for most people, the fact that they were highly entertaining, that they came out in a giant box of cereal, and that three of the greatest of all time were standing in the ring with them at the end of that segment, was, I think that's the takeaway. So, I mean, of all the comments I've seen that have questioned the booking decisions, the New Day losing is probably the one that's the biggest head-scratcher. But at the end of the day, I don't see it as being that big of a deal considering the presentation throughout the entire 20 to 25 minutes that they were out there.
Now, Doc, you need to remember, when it comes to Mickey, she literally dislikes everything. She's like your ornery older sister who's just not impressed by anything at all. So you can't judge anything based on what she says.
She is salty, God, all the time.
Gosh, Mickey, you and I would get along so well.
Sarcasm.
Yeah. No, for real. Now, the next match up was the street fight, the no-holds-barred street fight between Lesnar and Ambrose, which I think we were all expecting to be, you know, the show stealer, and it kind of ended up not being that.
I don't know what it was. It seemed like either they did, I don't know if it was a combination of them not having chemistry, or if it was because of the hardcore nature of it, they didn't get to wrestle, or the fact that it was really short.
I think it was about our expectations of it.
Yeah.
I think, given the fact that just about everybody I talked to, and I talked to a lot of wrestling fans over the weekend, and everybody that I asked, with a very, very few exceptions, said that the match they were most looking forward to was Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar. I sat here last week on your show, and I said, this is going to be a moment for Dean Ambrose, reminiscent of Steve Austin in 1997. I think a lot of people felt that way, and for it not to be that or anything close to it was kind of jarring. It took a second to, when he, you know, it made sense. I mean, the conclusion that happened made sense within the framework of the match that they had, but there was still, I mean, there was a big part of me that when he didn't kick out of that F5 onto the chair, it was like, that's it?
Yeah.
But yeah. I did go back and watch it again. I mean, there's a saying that I'm very fond of. I say it to anybody that follows my work, and that's judge matches, judge wrestling for what it is rather than what you want it to be.
Yeah.
We all wanted it to be something else, but if you judge it for what it is, it was actually quite good. I went back and watched it again. It's not a great match, but it's a very good one. I think this will be, along with Jericho and Styles and my comment made a few minutes ago, that this would the first couple of hours of the show would watch it really strong in future years. I think this would be a big part of that.
I like that outlook that you have, though. I've seen you say that on social media before, too. And I think a lot of people could lighten up and could really learn to enjoy things if they looked at it and, like you said, rated it for what it is rather than what they wished it was or what it didn't end up being or whatever the case might be. But I would like to point out, I called this crap last week right here on this very program. I said that the triple threat match with the women's title on the line,
the
women's title between Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte, I said this was going to be the match to steal the show. And as far as I've been able to tell from what everybody said, this match did steal the show.
Killed it.
It was amazing. I mean, I loved every second of it.
I thought it was awesome. I completely agree. You know, it's funny. I wrote in my column on LordsOfPain.net in review of WrestleMania 32 that the presentation that I was expecting Ambrose and Lesnar to get wasn't given to them. It was given to the women. And as such, it was the women who stole the show. The presentation for the women was unbelievable. This was by far the best women's match in WrestleMania history. And outside, if you subtract NXT from the WWE brand as a whole, I think it was the best women's match in WWE proper's history. I thought it was fantastic. It's destined to be a really, really, really rewatchable classic. And, oh, my God. I mean, just I don't have enough good things to say about it. I mean, I love the way that they were presented, Sasha Banks and Charlotte in particular. I was there at WrestleMania 24, and as soon as she walked out, and I was watching on that giant screen in AT&T Stadium, as soon as she walked out, I was like, that is made from the robe that Flair wore when he retired. I spotted it right away, and that little intangible type quality for me, being a fan who just dissects everything, I mean, that was awesome. And just the work in the ring was fantastic. I mean, they went out there and they showed the biggest audience in wrestling history. I mean, that's the biggest audience in wrestling history when you combine the live gate with the number of people watching at home. They went out and they redefined what women's wrestling is, and I'm thrilled for them. That is what the women's revolution in WWE was supposed to be about. It's matches like that, presentation like that, just the whole night from Lita presenting the new women's title to the work that those three did in the ring. That was absolutely awesome. I wholeheartedly agree. That stole the show. Good for them.
There was a picture online that's being shared that showed why this was such an important match and why what they did with changing it to the women's title and having them wrestle like regular wrestlers instead of wrestling what quote-unquote girl-style wrestling. There was this little girl that looked so engaged in the front row just watching and smiling at that match. You just built a brand with a little girl instead of just seeing a bunch of boys watching it. That just made a new era.
Guess what, man? That's a future women's champion right there in the front row.
Or if not good enough, a TNA knockout.
So now, up next,
that's the kind of match that you would think if you're a little girl sitting in the crowd and you see that, then I mean, that's the kind of thing that a Seth Rollins would have seen a Shawn Michaels match 20 years ago and said, that's what I want to do with my life.
Ian, there was a reason you should have watched it.
Bite me.
Up next was the Hell in a Cell match between Shane McMahon and The Undertaker. Another match that I think underwhelmed a lot of people, although, I mean, they told the story that they needed to tell, you know, and Shane with that incredible spot off the cage just blew so many people's minds.
How can you say it underwhelmed? A man jumped 20 feet.
He tried to kill himself as hard as he could. It didn't work. I don't know how anybody could have been disappointed in this match. I think it did exactly what it needed to do.
That's my stance. I wholeheartedly agree. This was a match that when I got home and looked online and looked at all the various different reviews and started gauging fan reaction, I mean, the live crowd ate it up. I mean, the live crowd thought it was great, and I thought it was far, far better than it had any right to be. I mean, I was blown away by it. I mean, and that's the thing. I expected to come home and see everybody talking it up and overblowing it as a match of the year candidate. I would have never expected to get back home and see that everyone thought that it was bad, except for that spot. I mean, to me, and I went back and I watched it last night. It was the last match that I watched on my rewatch thus far. I've got one left, and that's the main event. But when I rewatched that match, I thought, when I looked at the clock and saw that 30 minutes had gone by between the time that it started and the time that it ended, I thought, really?
Yeah.
That match was 30 minutes. It didn't feel like 30 minutes to me. That felt like about a third of that time to me, and I thought, or two-thirds of that time to me. So I thought it was much, much better than people are giving it credit for. And I'm not really sure what people are nitpicking. I mean, I can see that Shane McMahon is not a wrestler, and therefore some of the work that he put in was a little illogical, and the fact that they had him booked as Undertaker's equal in a lot of ways, but I think that's being a little overblown as well, that criticism, because Undertaker did, in fact, dominate that match. Shane just got a couple of his spots in, and, you know, I mean, what did you expect? I mean, this was Vince McMahon versus Hulk Hogan on steroids, and quite frankly, literally. I mean, to me, that's one of the most memorable matches that I've ever seen live.
There you have
and
it.
And I would... I don't know. I mean, I don't get the criticism. I really don't. This is the show. That match is sort of a microcosm of the show as a whole to me. I don't see what was so bad that everybody thinks is so awful about it.
Well, Doc, the Romans did prove that people almost dying is pretty entertaining stuff.
Yeah, so that's what he's saying. Nobody knows what the problem is.
Yeah.
Well, at least nobody here.
This was the match that Murderer looked forward to, was Undertaker versus Shane, and his take on it was, you know, it was slow. You know, Shane was kind of out of breath and out of it by about 5 minutes in. Everything went really slow. We couldn't figure out what the whole bolt cutter thing was with taking down the fence. It was kind of like...
Well, you got to get out of the cage. If you don't get out of the cage, you can't jump off of the cage. That's the whole point.
But from what Murderer explained to me, usually they just crash through the cage because they're supposed to be big, powerful men crashing through things, and here he is with bolt cutters. I'm like, I don't get it.
It's a logical error, Mickey. It's a logical error.
Mickey, you're not allowed to talk in these segments
anymore. That's okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you're done.
So then we had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Winner.
Yeah, I mean,
oh my God.
Obviously, it was a battle royal. You know, it was as good as a battle royal can be. But I think Baron Corbin going over in that match is just fantastic for him and, you know, for hopefully what his future holds.
And, Doc, you've been watching wrestling like I've been watching wrestling my entire life, your entire life. Is there any time in your life that you thought you'd see Shaq and Tatanka in the same ring?
Oh, man. No, I can't say that there was ever a time that I would have figured that Tatanka and Shaq would be sharing a ring, though.
So we had that. I mean, you agree, though, that, you know, Baron Corbin winning was the right decision?
It's all about what they do with it. I mean, if they end up treating it like it doesn't matter beyond a week from now, then no, I don't think it did any good for him. But just like it didn't really do any good for Cesaro in hindsight. I mean, it looks good on his resume that he won the first Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but if that thing ends up continuing to be treated like an afterthought and a joke, then why should anybody take it seriously as something that should be prestigious if won?
Speaking of not taking things seriously, we'll skip right over the thing with The Rock, you know, and the Wyatt family, because that kind of, you know, I mean, it's always great to see The Rock, you know, but I mean, it was just kind of like a pointless thing, I think, maybe to extend through that fifth hour. I'm not even really sure.
You're just mad. You don't want to talk about John Cena. That's what you don't want to do.
I don't, Ian. I don't, even though I know he's like your favorite guy in the world.
The only guy I know.
Yeah, the only guy he knows. But anyway, the last match, this is the big thing. The World Heavyweight Championship match, Roman Reigns versus Triple H. This match ends. Roman Reigns is now the champion. So, I mean, he, you know, and the boos were very, very audible. I mean, they had to the point where they had to mute the crowd.
Yeah, Doc, did you hear about this? They actually lowered the crowd noise on the live pay-per-view. Like, there's a live feed of it. Someone in the audience took the video, and this is what it actually sounded
like. We actually have this audio here, so you can listen to it. I mean, that's pretty distinctively boos. Can you say, having been there, that it was mostly boos in that audience?
Sure, absolutely. No question about that. He was practically booed out of the building.
Yeah, so, I mean, what do you think they're thinking with, like, sticking with this plan to make... I mean, you know, I know they said that this is going to be the beginning of his long run. Do you think they embrace the fact that people are booing him and maybe turn him heel? It kind of seems like his character's leaning in that direction anyway, or at least they're going to go, like, a tweener way with it. But, I mean, what do you think about this whole plan with them sticking with Roman Reigns despite everything?
Well, the way I look at it is this. They certainly, I mean, I have to believe that, no pun intended.
I knew it.
I have to believe that they know what they're doing and that there's a reason why they feel like they should stick to their guns here. I have to believe that. I mean, if not, then I come away just as frustrated as a lot of people are. Partly what helps me is that we just came off of an era where the top babyface in the company for the last decade was also essentially the top heel in the company.
Yeah.
Because just as many people vociferously despised John Cena as they did loved John Cena. And they're obviously trying to do something similar here again it's a different time. It's a different era. The thing about it for me is I resigned myself to the fact that this is what they were going to do a long time ago.
Yeah.
I listened to a lot of people try to predict their way out of Roman Reigns beating Triple H. But if you watched the pre-match video, it was very clear what story they intended to tell. You know, Roman Reigns was not an underdog babyface. He was a very strong babyface character, a superhero, for lack of a better expression, just simply going up against supervillains. And because of that, it seemed obvious and it seemed logical that within the framework of the story they were trying to tell, that there was really only one way to go, and that was Roman Reigns going over. The same way that a decade ago, there was only one choice to make, and it was John Cena going over, getting the torch passed to him and taking the WWE into the future. Roman Reigns, similar situation this year. I don't know what to make of what they're doing yet. I think I need to see a couple more weeks of what they do plan to do post-WrestleMania with Roman Reigns. But I do very much think it's intriguing to think of it from the perspective of, look, WWE just put AJ Styles as the number one contender. So essentially what they're going to do is they are going to listen to the people. They are going to line up the company guy who does have his fans. He does have his fans. They aren't us, generally speaking, but he does have his fans. And they're essentially, it's almost going to be like if you saw Batman versus Superman, it's going to be the WWE is Lex Luthor and he's going to pull the strings, and it's going to end up pitting one part of the fan base against the other part of the fan base. The people that like Roman Reigns against those of us that don't, and they're going to put guys like AJ Styles up against him. And that could be utterly fascinating to watch to me. But time will tell. I don't have a problem with it. I need to go back and watch the match again because so many people sitting around me did their very best to ruin trying to watch the main event of freaking WrestleMania, and they're sitting there trying to start a wave. And it's like, dude, if you want to act this way, your best bet is just not to come, for God's sake. Lord, you know, God, are you going to vote with your wallet, or are you going to sit there and pay your money and be a part of the biggest crowd in WrestleMania history and a part of the biggest viewing audience in WrestleMania history and sit there and complain the whole time during the main event of the biggest show of the year? It drives me crazy.
By the way, they've just booked WrestleMania 33, the Doc versus the audience of WrestleMania 32.
Doc, why don't you tell me how you really feel?
Challenge accepted.
There you go. It's on. Book it. And that's not going on the pre-show either.
No.
So that I mean, that is WrestleMania. I mean, I thought it was a perfectly fine event. And you know what? Now we can all come down off of this, you know, this hype, this wave. This is the time where we just sort of breathe. And I like this time of year, especially, you know, right after WrestleMania, because it is kind of like a reset. And, you know,
bada bing, bada boom, the realest guys in the room, they're there now.
This is what I'm saying. Enzo and Cass, you know, you kind of feel the landscape is totally new now, yeah, heading out of WrestleMania, heading into the next year of wrestling. So I always look forward to this time. And, Doc, just wanted to say thank you again for joining A Freak Accident all these weeks in a row to guide us through it. You're the man. And before we let you go, make sure you tell everybody about that book, which I bought, by the way. Haven't started reading it yet, but I'm going to. And let us know where we can find you and where we can track you down.
Well, you can reach me on social media at the Doc LOP on Twitter. I do a lot of social media engagement in terms of just daily discussion type stuff about pro wrestling. So if you ever want to get into an intelligent discussion about the sports entertainment genre, then by all means, follow me at the Doc LOP. I have written a book called The WrestleMania Era, The Book of Sports Entertainment. It is still, we've actually extended the deal for the ebook version being $4.99. That's going to last through the end of this week. So if you want to buy it for a cheaper cost, then that's an option. You can also read my columns on lordsofpain.net/wrestlingheadlines.com. It's the doctor's orders. I tend to write about one column a week, and I also do a weekly podcast called The Doc Says on Blog Talk Radio. You can find it at blogtalkradio.com/lordsofpain. So I appreciate you guys having me. I've enjoyed it. I look forward to rejoining you during SummerSlam season.
Hell yeah, man, we're looking forward to it too. That's the next big stop on the road. So the Doc, Chad Matthews, thank you so much for joining A Freak Accident, my man.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again, Doc. We'll be checking in with him again real soon. Mickey, we're done with wrestling for a while.
Yay!
Yay, you're thrilled. Now, though, you got to tell the listener where they need to go, what they need to do, because the show's over.
You can go to afreakaccident.com and go to the menu bar and click Connect. Yes?
Yes.
Yay! Okay, I'm good.
What's in Connect? What's in
Connect? What? You can find us on iTunes, on Facebook.
Well, that's not in the Connect
tab.
That's
sorry.
Our social media.
Damn,
Facebook,
I'm getting there.
Twitter.
I'm getting there. I was on
Instagram.
Vacation.
That's true. Yeah, she did miss a week, so it happened. We had Batman here giving us the website in your absence.
I heard that.
It was incredible.
It was Batman and Hulk Hogan all at the same time.
Yeah, it was so confusing. I mean, it kind of makes sense, though, I guess. But
so go to afreakaccident.com. You can find us on iTunes. Give us a good review. They need to
email us.
Email us at freaks@afreakaccident.com.
Yes. Social media, too.
Tell me how to do my job. It would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, give her some advice, please.
Or when you go to iTunes, make sure to subscribe.
Yes.
Make sure, please.
Yeah, because you'll get us delivered to you automatically each week. And don't forget, podcast.afreakaccident.com, the entire archive of all our shows. I think only the most recent 10 show up on iTunes.
So get them all.
Yeah, go get them all on the website there. So thanks for downloading and listening. We will be back again next week with another brand new episode of our podcast. For A Freak Accident, my name's Crisco.
I'm Lazy E.
I'm Ian Hunter.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you
that some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over. If you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.